Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, San Diego. Good afternoon. Good evening, rest of the world. Welcome back to the All Things Holistic Radio Show. I'm so excited. Let's start us off together with a little ditty. How you doing? Welcome back. Let's go. How's it going for you? Are you working on that list? How's your process been? How is your health today? How do you feel today? It's been a crazy week. It's been a wonderful time. How is it going? We are in our Wellness Week series. This is week 6. Can you believe it? And all things that are working towards your good is happening right now. I am so excited about today's show. We got a lot to go through. I have 2 wonderful guests that I'm going to introduce to you today. It's going to be a day for you, your intuition, your inner guide, your inner child. Let's get to know the indigo child in you today. I want to embrace you. I'm going to ask you, have a seat, grab your tea, get your lunch, turn your mind on high. We got a lot to talk about. Today is about you, your spirituality, your energy field. Why do you feel so sensitive out in the community, out in society? Why do you feel so different? We're going to address this topic today because, you know what, it's important for our health, and we're going to learn how it's important for our health to understand the gifts and talents that we have, to understand that inner indigo intuitive child. If you have a child that you believe is an indigo child, or you as an adult are extra sensitive, we're talking to you today, and we're talking to that inner child today. I have been so excited about today's show because I have 2 very special guests. Idel Brand is a holistic dentist, multifaceted integrative healer, and teacher of numerous diverse complementary healing modalities. She is also the author of many health-related articles and the founder of Enlightened Dentistry, a new paradigm of holistic dental care that encompasses healing of the body, mind, and spirit. I'm also joined with her very special daughter, Deandra Brand, who is an intuitive metaphysical healer and clairvoyant with advanced certification in an extensive number of healing modalities. She's on her way to start her boards to become a licensed acupuncturist, among other many healing modalities. It's a pleasure and an honor. I have just finished their co-authored book, Enlightened Indigo Child, about a personal guide to flourishing with a sixth sense. Please join me. Please welcome our special guest today. Thank you so much for being with me today, Dr. Brand and Ms. Deandra Brand. Hello and welcome.
Hi.
Hi, Tiffany. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm so excited. I couldn't wait for today. I'm nervous in a very positive way. How's the weather out there?
It's really nice. I think it's in the 70s. It's beautiful out today.
Wow.
Very nice Sunday.
Ah, what a lovely day for New York. That's great. So I want to get right into this because I am very passionate about this. I have been reading your book, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I'm going to read it again. The first time was for me. The second time is going to be for my children and how to incorporate some of these great tips. So I want to get right into it. But first, Dr. Brand, can I start with you? Can you tell us a little bit about you and how you discovered yourself as an indigo child?
Well, I do have my daughter to thank for that. I did not know I was an indigo child. And the journey to becoming or realizing that was a long and tedious one. I had chronic Lyme disease for 7 years. And as most people may know, or your listeners may know, it's a hard thing to diagnose, and it's even more difficult to cure. But I did cure it, and the way I cured it was through energy healing, mostly. I mean, there was a lot of other things I did, too, but that was the final missing puzzle. And then through that, my daughter started to study energy healing with me, and then eventually she developed all her Claire everything abilities. And then through that, we both discovered we were indigos.
Wow. It is. It really is a fascinating story to hear about your healing process. It's you went through quite a bit, and you go through it extensively in the book, and we're going to get into that. But before we get more into this, and we are going to get to you, Deandra, I want to hear more about you. What is an indigo child?
An indigo child, it's a term that refers to the large numbers of children and adults that have been born in the last 30 to 40 years, and many more are coming in now in the last 20 years, and most of them have high sensitivities, emotional and physical, to the environment. These kids also have some extraordinary innate gifts in music, art, academia, math. Some even have psychic abilities. And it explains the phenomena of why so many of our kids are being diagnosed with learning disabilities or ADD or other physical or mental illnesses, because they're just highly sensitive to the environment and their toxins. And we have to realize that and treat these kids just a little bit differently than the generations before were treated.
Right. You know, it was interesting. When I was reading your book, I was thinking about what I have been going through and learning that I also am an indigo child, thanks to the confirmations in the book, and I think everyone should be reading this book. But I worked for 15 years with adults with developmental disabilities, and I had an ability to communicate with them non-verbally as well as work with them on a level that was so amazing. I was a case manager for many of them who were wards of the state, of course, abandoned or you know, could not be handled by their own family, unfortunately, so were being cared for by the state and institutionalized. And so I worked in those institutions, and as a case manager would have to go before boards and, you know, go through their how to care for them and their life skills. And every meeting I would have with my clients, everyone was so amazed on how we were able to communicate where they could never communicate before with others. And is there, would you agree as an indigo child, that there is an ability to communicate on different levels, either with nature or with other human beings that might be thought of as weird?
Yes, definitely. Most indigos are very heart-centered, and there is that inner knowing that they have or an intuitive ability, and that's why indigos can do that.
Very interesting. Miss Deandra, tell us a little more about you. Now, you are a young woman, obviously the child of Dr. Brand. Tell us a little bit of what it was like and when you knew as a child that you were indeed gifted. What was that experience like for you?
Okay, so growing up, I was always really heart-centered. I never had the abilities that I have now, like as an intuitive and see colors, most intuitives can see that when they're little, like 4 years old. I didn't have that. At 16 is when I was able to have my full abilities bloom and blossom. So the first real event that happened for me was when I was in my public school in class in high school, I was 16, and basically, I switched chairs with my neighbor because he was in my seat, I was in his, and I felt tremendous headache. It was from my temples all the way to my occiput area, and it just was horrible. I mean, I'm not someone that usually has headaches. So for some reason, I actually ended up asking, hey, did you have a headache? He's like, how do you know? I'm like, well, because I have. He's like, really? He's like, yeah. And I described all the symptoms. Like, oh, that's weird. I'm like, yeah. And that was the end of it. It was not it. So,
yeah, I mean, that's what they say, like, uh-huh, go ahead.
Yes, and so that was the start. And then I started seeing more things around certain people that were more heart-centered. I started seeing more loving things like angels and archangels. And it changed and developed into more gifts as I grew older.
That's amazing. So at what point in your healing, Dr. Brand, and at what point in your young adult life, Deandra, did you guys decide, we got to write a book?
Oh, that's all Deandra's fault. Because when she was an intuitive, when we realized that she was an indigo, I mean, we realized she was an indigo before me. I came much later. But we started looking for books on indigos, and we found that most of the books on indigos were really very negative books. They said terrible things like indigos need to be medicated, they're hard to take care of, they're double-edged swords.
A new breed.
They're a new breed of human, and that's a terrible thing to say to a kid. Really
right.
terrible. Mm-hmm. So she was, you know, able to channel in things, and she kept saying, "Mom, up there, they're telling me we have to write a book because the books out there are just terrible, and they're making us, you know, us indigos look like we're just hopeless and, or victims or need to, you know, be a problem for the rest of our lives." And, of course, I was a little bit resistant because, you know, I have other things to do. But we managed to write the book. It took us about 2 years between she was going to school and I was still working, but we did get the book out. And that's how it all started, because she felt that these books were just a terrible reflection of what indigos are and what they can be. And because the indigos are wonderful human beings, and they have mm-hmm. wonderful innate gifts that are really here to transform and the world and the people in it, and help us all ascend into a higher frequency of enlightenment, and to realize that we are all connected and we are all one. And when indigos finally blossom and open up, they do become even more heart-centered, and it's sort of like an awakening, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
that's what
like,
happens.
Sounds like your book is way different than other indigo books that are out there. Sounds like it's definitely a positive approach. So what do you write about what are the attributes of an indigo, and how does one know if they are an indigo? How can someone today find out if they are an indigo as well?
Well, we have an entire chapter for that. I forgot which chapter it is, but we have a whole list of indigo attributes, and if people want to know more about the indigo attributes, if you go to our website, enlightenedindigochild.com. I think it's on the second page of the website. We've got all the characteristics listed. Basically, it's usually these kids have an innate wisdom, and you wonder how they can say things when they're 3 or 4 years old that you would not expect from a 3 or 4 year old child. You would expect it from maybe someone in their 80s or 90s. Someone has great inner knowing, a deeper connection to the bigger plan of why we're all here. And they just tend to be very heart-centered and seeing the beauty of everything and everyone. And just that inner knowing.
Mm-hmm. I'm on your book now, and I'm on page 40. And again, the title of the book is Enlightened Indigo Child. And again, give us that website.
EnlightenedIndigoChild.com.
Okay. And those of you that might have questions on this show, please feel free to give us a call at area code 914-338-1527. It's a little bit of a lengthy list, but I will. I want to read some of them because I really do feel that there are people out there that is extremely interested. So the first one you say, and I'll just go through some of the attributes, is one, heart-centered when young, care about others more than you care about yourself, wise beyond their years, do not want to be here on Earth, have insights about things they shouldn't have a clue about, such as deceased people, future events, past lives, have an inner knowing that may be seen as arrogance by the general population of non-indigos, just cruising down the list, can pick up other people's emotions, can get offended easily, can get seizures, can get high fevers easily, talk to their pets like they would talk to humans, tend to hang out with nature and pets more than people, can get sick easily, can have extremes in weight, either very thin or very heavy, prone to insomnia, prone to anxiety or unfounded fears, very friendly but don't have many close friends due to feeling of being different or weird, and find solace in being alone. That's not all of them. There's a total of 28 attributes that are listed in this book that I encourage people, but those are a few of those of you that are listening that may feel, and if you've connected to this, you're on the right show. These are very important and so common with people that are, especially, I mean, some of my sensitive clients that I get on the table and massage have a lot of these issues. It's really interesting. And it turns out that our massages, because it's all connecting, thanks to this book and speaking with you guys, is all, for me, connecting that those clients that I have that are extra sensitive, I have people that I can't even keep a clock in the room, Dr. Brand, because
yeah.
it sounds like a time bomb ticking. Mm. I have to remove a clock from the room for some of my clients just so they can relax. And we have the most powerful massages because I can really tap into them. Does that make sense? So if an indigo person meets another indigo child, do you immediately know it?
Well, Deandra does. I'm sure she can tell you more about that.
Tell us, Deandra. Can you tell when you meet another indigo out in life?
Yes. Usually there is a connection in some way, like they're just more observant and more heart-centered. It depends where you get them. Like, if you get them when they're 4 years old, it's very lovely to be with them. If they're older, like their 20s, they're a little bit more hardened by the world. So it does matter what age you are in that way, because life isn't always easy for them, and they get a little harder.
Harder, yeah, because, you know, the way other people treat indigos can make them a little less heart-centered over time. It makes them a little angry with the world, which is that warrior spirit as well.
Huh. Deandra, describe, what is it like to be heart-centered? When are you meeting, or when are you heart-centered? Describe the characteristics of that.
Okay, so for me, it's around being someone or a pet that is highly intuitive in the sense of knowing your emotions and feeling okay with it, not judging and not going to the ego. Most humans are in the ego.
And they judge.
And they judge, and they go into biases and prejudices and all that stuff. So to be heart-centered is you don't go into judgment, and you just want to be grounded and help the many, help the few, help them all.
Mm-hmm. So you have, it sounds like you have a deep-rooted empathy and compassion. If you're you're in your heart-centered place, got it. You can feel it. You almost feel their pain sometimes. You can sense their sadness or anger. Mm-hmm. Can you pick up those emotions as well?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Got it. What are some truths? Oh, you know what? I have an interesting question for you, Dr. Brand. When you're working in your dentistry practice, what is that like as an indigo child to be in the mouth or experience such a close proximity to people? How do you guard yourself?
It's not easy. It really isn't. You know, Deandra and I teach Reiki, and most of the time we teach it to a lot of health practitioners. And we find that many health practitioners that are in close proximity to their clients and patients, especially like massage therapists, where people come to them for healing and to feel better. And massage therapists in particular, I found, always want to help everybody. Many of them get a lot of illnesses within 10 years of being a massage therapist. So myself, as you said, I'm in close proximity to these people. I do put up a lot of protection on me physically, mostly stones and rocks. And energetically, I put light around me. Sometimes I'll run light through me. And I have to say that many days after I'm done working, I do have to clear myself. It becomes almost like another part-time job after my full-time job of doing that. But
right.
I do it because I know that there's a higher purpose to me, doing my dentistry. It's not just fixing teeth. We do a lot of things to shift people into a higher state of consciousness here, as well as getting them to heal themselves on so many other levels besides just the teeth and the physical challenges, but as well on the emotional and mental challenges. And so I do what I do, and I just find ways to clear myself and protect myself every day. And of course, you know, Deandra, being that she is clairvoyant, she can actually see this stuff on me, so it's very helpful. She does help me remove this stuff, as I do with her. Sometimes it's hard to clear yourself. You need an outside person to really assist with that.
Very much so.
We help each other. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel, have either one of you ever experienced, you've been at a certain level of your intuition, or then you kind of hit a new level, a new heightened sensitivity, and when and if that has happened to you, what was that like? Or if you can explain, if you've been at a certain level, let's say as a massage therapist, I'll use myself as an example. For 15 years, I've been in a certain energy realm. I've been doing my own. And then I joined this integrative practice, medical integrative healing center, which I absolutely love. But I hit a whole new level of client care that is heightened with more disease, more issues, more sensitivity, and more different types of personalities. And it seemed, at first I thought, wow, I'm losing a lot of gift, I'm exhausted. And then I had to turn it around to get positive in this, that, wow, I'm on a whole nother energy realm here. This is like this is the big game here. This is big time. Why does that happen? How do you know when you come to that place where, wow, my energy is getting more intense, or I'm feeling much more sensitive? Why does that happen?
Okay, so that sort of reminds me when I became an intuitive, because, mm-hmm. like I said, I wasn't an intuitive as a young child, 4 or 5. That's when most intuitives have those abilities. So at 16, it first started with me just seeing colors and energies around people. And then we're still going to a lot of energy classes. So there was a class about Atlantis symbols and stuff like that. And this certain person that we knew from other classes said every time he wore this certain ring that has an Atlantean symbol on it, he'd always have swollen fingers. So my mom was just curious really how far my gift could go. I was sort of used as a guinea pig. And she said, here, DeAndre, hold the ring and hold the guy's finger and tell me what you see. I'm like, well, I don't know what I'm doing. What do you want me to do? I'm like, okay, fine. And so I closed my eyes and I saw this whole past life thing in great detail. It was so great and so overpowering. I sort of had a really emotional, like, breakdown, like, sort of crying during it because it was so intense. And I had no idea that I could do that, seeing a past life. And that was sort of an eye-opening experience. So for me, the reason why it happened was because I was changing my frequency. I was becoming more intuitive, and I was becoming more heart-centered, and I was open to it. A lot of times, every human has the ability to be an intuitive. However, we have fears or people telling us, no, you can't do this, don't have imaginary friends, blah, blah, and we turn off that gift. And so because I was going to these classes and my mom and my parents in general were just very encouraging, I was like, okay, this isn't scary, this isn't hard. It's like, okay, I can do this. So I was welcoming it, and that's why I think it happened to me in that way.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting. That must have been a very interesting time in your life to experience that. What are some of the truths and myths about indigos, Dr. Brand?
I think, you know, some of the myths are that all indigos have an indigo aura, and they don't. Aura changes with your emotions. I mean, you can have a dark, you know, brown aura if you're depressed. You can have a very light aura, colored aura, if you're happy. What the indigo refers to is the life force color, and that's a constant, and that's different than the aura. Everyone has a life force color that they're born with, and the indigo children in particular have, or all of us indigos, we all have an indigo life force color. I think that's the main one. I think to say all indigos are psychic, that's not necessarily true. Many indigos, I don't really have those kind of psychic abilities like DeAndre does. I do have an inner knowing on some level or some sort of deeper wisdom, but I don't have any psychic abilities per se. I'm not clear. Well, sometimes I've heard things. I might be a little bit clairaudient, and maybe a little bit I've seen things out of the corner of my eye, but I'm not like fully blown that way, clairaudient or clairvoyant. And I think one of the biggest fallacies out there about indigos is that all indigos have a problem, and they have to be medicated or, you know, see a psychiatrist, a psychologist, and take a drug for the rest of their life. And that's a terrible thing to do to anybody, and, you know, let alone a child. And we just have to realize that everybody has their own unique gifts, and indigos just have whatever they have, depending on the type of indigo you are, and just believe in that. And just, you know, preconceived or prejudging a person based on what they are, it's like, you know, saying that, you know, women can't be doctors, which is what I was told as a child. So it's the same kind of myth. And we just have to release that and just go from the inner knowing of what you know and believe in the greatness of who you are and go from there.
Right. If you have someone in your chair, let's say, and you can sense something, do you ever talk about, can you talk about this subject with patients?
All the time. All the time.
Interesting.
And, you know, it's interesting what you say, because a lot of people think that, you know, metaphysical healing and energy healing is all very airy-fairy or creepy or you know, just weird. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be messing with that. But what we do here for our clients that come is everyone who comes through here is offered a two-minute tune-up that balances the energy field using tuning forks that work on the chakras. So they can actually see the tuning forks, they can hear the sound, and they know after that two-minute tune-up, they walk out there a very different person. They're very grounded. They feel happy. It's a wonderful feeling. So that's just the way we introduce it to them, especially the ones who aren't open to the metaphysical. But I have to say there are a very big majority of the patients who come here who are looking for answers. They've given up on conventional medicine and dentistry, and they know that we do energy work here, and they come here specifically for that because they're looking to get healed, and we offer it to them. So if they're open, we mention it. Sometimes you have to broach the subject very carefully because we have sometimes as many indigos in the chair and they don't know they're indigos. And then we start talking about topics, and then they're like, oh, really? Oh, I've heard of that. And then they get all excited.
Yes. Isn't that a neat? That's that flipping the switch moment when you're like, wow, I kind of think, you know, I kind of think I can relate to this. This is really interesting. Yeah, that's how fascinating that would be. It was about maybe a month ago I got my last upper right, all my mercury fillings removed. I've been working on this for 5 years, and I finally got the upper right all out. Thank you. It was a big day. It should have been a three-visit day, and I did it in a four-hour sitting, and wow, it has been – I feel so much better, and I was so proud of myself because – it was very much a proactive approach, and it was very spiritual for me. And talk about energy healing. I feel like it's kind of clearing some, I don't know, blockages, if you will. I don't know if that makes sense, but how did you first get into metaphysical and energy healing, and do you do that in practice? I guess that's with both of you. Do you do that in your daily practice with patients and clients?
Yes. I mean, I do it all the time. I'm always clearing the space and, you know, bringing in higher frequencies of energy to work with when we're doing the dentistry. And I find that it's extremely helpful. And Deandra, she works here as an intuitive metaphysical healer, so she works with it all the time. So
that's your job. That's your job, Deandra.
That's her job, yes.
Wow. What an interesting job you have.
Yes, absolutely.
Because these are the days. I mean, let's talk about this for a second, because you and I are human. We have the same stressors. We have the same bills of sorts. We have the same circumstances, a car, traffic. We're all succumbed to the same societal stress. And yet we have to stay focused and centered, and our patients and clients, not that they don't care about us, they do, but they're not coming in to hear how our day is. They're coming in to have their day calmed and healed and their space healed. So it's certainly not about us, but it's an interesting time where they have high expectations for us to stay grounded, to stay stay clear, stay happy, stay warm, stay compassionate, keep yourself whole. They don't want to see sadness in your face or depression or anger when they come in to see you. They just don't want it to know that it exists. I remember the first time I shared with a client, I'm in a really bad space right now. She was shocked. You'd think I slapped her mother. You know, I mean, really. It was really an interesting moment. So what are some tips let's talk to the healers for this moment. What are some tips that you can give other healers that have the same stresses in life but have to keep it private when they're doing their daily work? What are some tips you can give us?
I think the most important thing is to try and stay grounded as best you can. I know when I live in the city and I walk to work every day. It's about a mile walk. But I have time during that time to, talk to the higher realms and bring in that energy for the day. If I pass a tree, I'll always say hi to the tree and thank the tree for being here. Sometimes I'll actually touch the tree and take a couple of deep breaths, and I usually feel much better. So when you connect to Earth, and you realize that there's many things around us supporting us, and you're not alone, that's how you stay grounded. Mm-hmm. So I think grounding is number one.
And I think number two would be gratitude. Mm-hmm. It's probably the most important thing you can do to have faith that everything's good. And it can be simple as just saying, I am grateful for, and fill in the blank. And usually that helps me stay grounded, helps me refocus my energy if I feel overwhelmed or just feels like it's too much in the environment or even with my clients.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's an important thing. We do talk about that in the book, the ways you can stay well and grounded. I think what DeAndre's also referring to partly is the walking meditation, where as you're walking, just notice everything around you that's wonderful and beautiful, even if it's a pile of garbage. You say, that's great, those people threw out all that garbage. They're like, I must have gotten new stuff. They're so lucky.
Yeah,
see the beauty of everything, and you'll see how your life will change when you start looking at everything in a positive and instead of a negative. Even a bad experience, if you've had it, you have to look at what you've gotten out of it, what you've learned, and you're still okay, you're still here, you didn't die, and just be grateful for that learning experience and move on and know that your wisdom is getting there, you're getting stronger for it. And I think the other thing is just to avoid as many toxins as you can. We live in a really toxic world. It's in the air we breathe. It's in the food we eat. And I use the word food loosely because a lot of that food we eat isn't really food. It's just boxed chemicals with a lot of tasty ingredients that aren't really food. I always say if the food that you're buying has a shelf life longer than your life, don't eat it because it's not real food.
Okay.
And
great
avoiding
advice.
Toxins. Yeah, and if you can just detox every day, whether you take a salt bath or earth yourself, connect to nature, or just go into that state of gratitude, or do something every day that helps your body to be a little bit healthier. Just like we take a multivitamin every day to improve our health, we have to do something to detox every day to improve our health, on the physical as well as the emotional planes.
Great advice.
And we do talk about that in the book, because that's how I found my health. It wasn't until I got into the detoxing that I realized I could, that I saw the big shift. The detoxing and the energy healing for me were critical in turning my health around from chronic Lyme disease, fibromyalgia, the list is endless of what happened, what I had.
Well, this book brought so much hope to me because I had lead toxicity and heavy metal toxicity that was so severe, and I actually in vitro transferred it to both of my babies who are now 5 and 6. So that was really intense time, and I was sick for a very long time and still healing with anemia. So you talk about heavy metal toxicities. Tell us a little bit more. What are some of the toxins that are affecting our sensitive children?
Well, as a dentist, the first thing we always talk about is the mercury, and the mercury is in the vaccines, and it's in those silver, shiny fillings that everyone has in their mouth. And the mercury is the second most toxic substance on the planet, right after plutonium, and you certainly would not put plutonium in your mouth. So you need to remove those mercury fillings as soon as you're able to, but the thing to be aware of when you remove them is that you need to remove them safely with a proper protocol so that you don't get sicker when the stuff is drilled out of your mouth. And we've seen people who've gone elsewhere, had some mercury fillings removed, and their illnesses got worse, especially if they're neurological illnesses. And neurological illnesses can be anywhere from tremors to some sort of mental disorder or Alzheimer's. So So you need to be aware that mercury is a neurotoxin, and it's in all the silver fillings, and it's leaching out into everybody's body, and it needs to be removed properly. The other thing that I think is really important with the fluoride is the fluoride. And fluoride, as you know, is in many of the water systems. I don't know if it's in your water system, but here in New York it certainly is. And fluoride is also a neurotoxin. They actually use it in rat poison. It really does a great job of killing off the rats. And what it does actually is it affects the pineal gland of the children, and the pineal gland is very critical for third eye, seeing things with your third eye, and also important with the sleep patterns, because it affects the melatonin that would be produced by the pineal gland. So if you're having sleep disorders, you might really try and find a way to prevent fluoride from being in your water system, and certainly to detox it from your body. Really important.
Very interesting. And my children have, I believe my children, both of them are indigos, and they both have night terrors. What about the silving, why do they put the silver caps in little babies, little kids that have issues with that, with
you
their
mean
teeth?
Those silver-looking caps? Those are aluminum, if I remember correctly. They're not silver.
Okay.
They may call them that because it's the same color, but it's aluminum. And as you know, aluminum is a big deal in terms of brain development, because everyone who has Alzheimer's is always associated with high aluminum. So it's probably not a good thing to have in the mouth. It's just standard of care for conventional dentistry. It's time to really get conscious and find a holistically minded dentist who sees outside the box. And there aren't too many of us out there, but I just want to give a website if anybody needs a holistic dentist. It's called the IAOMT.org website. It's for the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology, and they have holistic dentists, biological dentists throughout the world listed by country, by state. So if anybody needs a holistic or biological dentist, that would be the place to go look for one, IAOMT.org.
IAOMT.org. Okay, IAOMT.org. And I will be posting this information on the website after today because it's so interesting. Let's keep talking about our babies a little bit longer. Mom to mom here, looking back, was there something you noticed about Deandra that you can share that parents should look out for in their own children?
My kid's perfect. What can I tell you?
Of course she is.
I have an older child, to a son who's an indigo, but he's in denial. But that's okay. He's a good kid. We'll leave him alone.
You can't fight it after a while. Trust me. You can tell him that.
Right, it's fine. He's getting more open to it. We wrote about him in the book at one point because he was the one who had the night terrors. So he was definitely seeing and hearing stuff, and he couldn't, explain to us what he was seeing and hearing. And even as a teenager, he would hear voices and nobody was there. He is very accomplished, so it's not a problem. He knows how to handle himself with this stuff. But, he's not into this as much as Deandra and I might be. I have to say, ever since she was young, she was always very, very heart-centered. She would always say wonderful things to people, very sweet and loving, in a way that you would never expect from such a young child. I think that was the main thing. She also had a thing going on with these high spiking fevers. She had febrile seizures when she was a young child, but she also had one, I think, when she was 12 or 13, which is very unusual. But from what we're understanding, a lot of indigos get them, febrile seizures, because there's a rewiring that's going on in the brain, and this is the way it sort of gets done. And so those are the two things I can think of for her, the heart-centeredness and the febrile seizures, which I don't think many of the other books talk about that as much. They just talk about all the bad things and how these kids have to be medicated. And I don't look for that, I look for the positive in my child. I mean, I know my children are great. I believe in their greatness. And no matter what the experts might say and put a label on them, I don't go there because no one knows my kid as well as I know my kid or any parent knows their kid. And we need to be aware of that and stop giving away our power to these quote-unquote experts, who are just going to diagnose a syndrome or put a label and then put your kid, on a track that's going to keep them medicated or in a bad educational track for life.
Mm-hmm. What are some tips that families, parents, and teachers, and we're talking to the families and the parents and the teachers out there, that can integrate into their daily lives to help their kids flourish?
I think the most important tip, if I had to come up with anything, was to connect with nature daily. Now, for us people in the city, it's a little tough, but as I say, I do walking meditations in the morning. I try to connect to the trees as best I can. But if you live in a house and you have grass and you have nature around you, I would go out there for 20 minutes a day and connect, because Mother Earth is your mother. It's nurturing, and there is a science behind it. There is a book out called Earthing, which explains it. There is a lot of free electrons on the surface of the planet, and us people, we have a lot of free radicals. So if you connect to Earth on a physical level, the free electrons from the Earth's surface will neutralize our free radicals. So there's a lot of healing that can be had from connecting to Earth, you know, skin to skin, hug a tree, you know, for 20 minutes, 30 minutes every day, you know, running barefoot on the grass. And I think, you know, the other thing is just doing things that allow your kid to feel that they are important. You know, maybe turn off the television and do some family things together, whether it's out in nature. And I think also EMF protectors are important, because, you know, kids are really hooked on to these computers all day and cell phones. And I don't know about you, but everything that's electronic in my house and in my office, we have EMF protectors on them, because we need all the help we can get. And if you have Wi-Fi in the house, I would seriously think about getting rid of it and getting things wired so that you don't sleep in this stuff where these things come at you. But there's a lot of different things we talk about in the book that can be helpful for that.
That is a very interesting point about Wi-Fi. That's right. All these, I don't know, what is that, laser? What have we got? All that energy in the air. Deandra, what did it feel like when you were a young child? Maybe, well, it sounds like you knew you were pretty gifted fairly young. What is it like when you are out of balance or not? What did it feel like when you did not feel emotionally supported? Not speaking of your mom, but maybe from society, friends, teachers. Question again is, what did you feel like when you were out of balance or when you were not emotionally supported?
Okay. So I went to public school of my entire life. And so there's really not a lot of people that are grounded or conscious. So for me, you could call me a loner, but I was not really a loner. I was always looking for people that were just more grounded. So for me, when I felt not connected with others or by myself or just not accepted, I would always go back to what made me feel good. So my mom and my dad often made me feel important, not in an ego way, but it just what I can offer to others and volunteer and all that stuff. So we always refocused.
Yeah, both my kids, you know, they took karate classes, and both of them got their black belts. I think that was very empowering. When you give these kids a sense of power and control, it's very helpful in getting them to feel more grounded. It's not to say anything against team sports. I think they're wonderful. But things where you're doing it on your own can be quite could be much more helpful for the child on an emotional level.
Like a swimming or golf, something like that.
Yeah,
that
something
can be...
that you feel your own sense of accomplishment. I mean, for us, it was karate. I liked it because, you know, growing up in the city, not to say there's a lot of bad people here, but it's good to know that you can take care of yourself. And you know, both
right.
my kids have had their instances with bullies. I mean, I'm sure many kids have instances with bullies, but they've always been able to take care of themselves physically.
That's a great point. An individual challenge and being able to take your own pace for indigos is really important, because sometimes things change and your energy changes. Which brings me to another question for you, Deandra. How did you first get into metaphysical and energy healing, and what has it done for your life as an indigo?
Okay, so I got into it because of my mom. I mean, basically, I've known my mom since I was 5 years old, as sick. Okay, and so I came home from school, and I saw IVs in her arm, and I always saw her sick, and she couldn't go to certain class trips with me because she didn't feel well. And she was still there emotionally, but she wasn't able to always be there physically because she had her own challenges. And so when I was around 14 or so, she suddenly got well. Like, as a kid, just like kid perspective. I mean, as a child, you don't always know the details of what your parents are doing. So, just like kid perspective, she was vibrant. She was there, present. She could walk, outwalk me, outrun me kind of thing. And so it was really exciting to see her in this new light. And because I was just so happy with how she was, I was like, ooh, what are you doing? So she took me to these classes that she was taking. And they said very simply, with a meditation or just crystals or just different types of energy work. And so I was like, oh, okay, that's okay. That sounds good. So I'd go there, and it was very supportive people usually.
Usually.
and it was fine. And so she had me, and I had her, and we had support. And so it was not scary to see the shift in myself or in her, and it always felt protected, and especially since my powers, I'm going to call it that, changed so rapidly, like when I was 16 or so, it wasn't scary, it wasn't too much overwhelming, because I had my support system with my parents.
Mm-hmm. That's the key right there. Having your family support you is so important. You can get through so much with family love. Is it interesting, okay, back to mom. As a mom, and like I know, this has just happened not long ago. I've been getting headaches, and actually some of my symptoms, I'm glad to hear you say about when you remove mercury you can get sick again, because some of my symptoms have come back as far as the anemia and fatigue and headaches after the dental procedure I've had. So I'm dealing with that, and I'm detoxing daily. So I've been having more frequent headaches that I have never experienced before. And my daughter, Sophia, so beautiful. Everything's beautiful. And you give her something, oh, that's so beautiful, she says. That's
oh, I
so
love
lovely,
her already.
She'll say. Oh, she's just so, so special. And she's so genuine. I mean, there's not a fake bone in her body, you know?
Yeah.
She's so genuine. And so one day I asked her, I came home and I said, Sophia, will you lay hands on me? And I felt very guilty because I needed my daughter's energy. I needed her healing touch. And, you know, she put her hands on my forehead. Her hands were as warm as the sun. Mm-hmm. And she laid her hands on me, and she immediately wanted to start rubbing. I said, oh, you don't have to, honey. Just lay your hand over my eyes. Just help my eyes. You know, my headache went away. And I cleansed her afterwards. I prayed with her, and I said, I thanked her. And then I went to bed, and I thought, was that okay? Was that odd?
Yes,
I mean, my daughter just turned 5. It was odd? Or was that okay?
No, it was okay.
Was that...
That's a beautiful thing. That's what we're here for. We're all here to help each other. It's done with an open heart and love. You're not taking her energy. She's just channeling it through her to you from a higher source.
And especially because of gratitude afterwards.
Yes.
And you helped cleanse her, clear her afterwards, and you thanked her. That's the exchange.
Yes.
So you did well.
You did well, and she did well.
Did you?
And you need to realize that she did not take anything from her. If anything, she probably helped you to understand the energy healing even more so.
That's great, because I did. I felt like, oh, she's so little, and here she is helping this big old woman, get healed. It was wonderful. Deandra, did you ever experience that, and how did it feel as a young girl? Because I haven't been able to ask her, like, what did that, I know she's more interested now, but how did it feel as a young little girl to have energy and to give energy? Did it make you feel different or happy or special? What was it like for you?
Okay, so I didn't have my intuitive gifts until I was 16.
16,
that's
still
a
young.
As a young child, I always had, like, what your daughter's talking about, like, just the gleefulness and just general happiness, but and the wisdomy, but I didn't heal anyone. growing up, though, I definitely cleansed my mom and my parents in general after they had a long day or after they didn't feel well. And to me, it was fine because I knew what I was doing and I knew how to clear myself afterwards. Or if I didn't or if there's something too much, I could always ask for help. So it was a group effort.
Yeah, Diana couldn't do what your daughter did at the age of five. She was just a very highly sensitive person back then, and we were in a very different place. I knew nothing about energy healing at that age.
Mm-hmm,
it wasn't until she was much older, as a young teenager, that all this stuff became clearer to us. You know, it's a learning curve for all of us.
Yeah, everything has its perfect timing, because if you hadn't experienced that, you wouldn't have written this book that helps me read it as a person who's going, yeah, I was too, I'm also an indigo child, or those others that are out there searching for answers to their own reasons of having these gifts that they have inside. Everything has its perfect timing. Are you seeing the connection that I'm talking about? It's just perfect timing for, because you said 30 to 40 years now. So of the first 20, now you guys have to spread the word that it's real for the ones that are,
yes,
those of us that are 40, 41 going, oh, thank God, I thought I was crazy. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
No, it's good. You know, the thing to realize about these indigo children, they're here to wake up the parents, as your daughter did for you when she did that healing. You know, it made you see things in a very different light. And a lot of these kids are having their challenges, and the parents aren't awake yet. They're not conscious. But when the parents say, I've had enough of this system, and then they start looking for other answers, that's when things will start to shift for the child as well, because the parents have to be conscious enough to realize that there are other choices and better choices to get their children well and functional and in their power and be who they're supposed to be, not a person that has to be medicated and labeled for life with an illness.
Got it. You have this amazing book, Enlightened Indigo Child. Where can we get your book?
Enlightened Indigo Child is available through our website, enlightenedindigochild.com. If you want a signed copy, please order it through there. Otherwise, it's available from Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. It's on Kindle as well as in conventional book form. It is available in some bookstores. If you go to our website, you will find the bookstores listed. And that's pretty much it. And also, I wanted to say, we have a Facebook page for the Enlightened Indigo Child book, and it's a pretty active page. If anybody's just looking for positive feedback and affirmations or have other questions, certainly you can join our group and put your questions up there, because there's a lot of knowledgeable indigos who are more than happy to give advice and help each other. It is a big group. There's over 13,000 people on it. We're quite proud of that, and they're wonderful people, and we're all here to help each other.
Yeah. 13,000 people and more to come, because it's a real story. It's a real thing with people. Obviously, you have already accomplished so much with your book, but did it meet your expectations, and what did you hope to accomplish with this book?
I think the bottom line is we just hope to get the word out and to realize that for parents to realize that there's nothing wrong with their children, and they just have to raise them a little bit differently and a little more holistically to keep them well and get them back to where they should be, and to help the kids realize that there's nothing wrong with them either, that there are others out there like you, and you're not alone. We're all connected. And that's what the book is. It's a positive book. There are solutions to every problem, and if you focus on the solutions and stop looking at the problems will disappear. The solutions are there, always.
Right. And healing can completely take place when you know that there's a solution to every problem. Before you even address the problem, when you know there's a solution, you will be healed. And that's what that's what we have to keep in mind. It's just imperative. And I think this is just one of the many steps, one of the many things that people that might be dealing with a dis-ease in their body, disease, chronic illness, this is one of the areas that you need to address, which is your ability to have an innate healing ability, an intuitive sense. Everyone is gifted. Everyone has a sense of empathy. You just have to tap into it. Would you agree with me on that, ladies?
100%. I think, you know, the thing is we're so indoctrinated from the media, whether it's television or it's the news or it's what other people tell us, what teachers tell us, what parents and grandparents and what the churches tell us, that we sort of get brainwashed at a very young age. And we have to undo that and realize that everything is limitless and everything is possible. You just have to understand that it can be done and it will be done. And our story is, shows that. I mean, they told me I would never be cured from what I had, and certainly not from the fibromyalgia and the neuropathy and all that. And I'm perfectly fine. And DeAndra is perfectly healthy and well and accomplished in her own right, even though they said that there was something wrong with her.
Right. DeAndra, do you have any last words, and then I'll ask you, Dr. Brand, any last words or tips or anything else you'd like to share with us today before we have to unfortunately say goodbye? We could talk about this for days, you know? I mean, we have a lot that I would love to have you back, but please, is there any last things that you'd like to give or encourage someone about today?
Okay, so I'd have to say to trust your kids. Trust what they say. Trust who they're becoming, and have faith in who they are, because they are really
the future. They are here for a higher purpose, and when the parents realize that, the kids will heal, and as the kids heal, the parents will heal as well.
Absolutely.
It's all connected.
Great advice. That is great. How about you, Dr. Brand? Anything else you'd like to share with them or encourage someone today?
Just keep looking for solutions. Clean up your environment so the kids aren't eating poisons. And just believe in the greatness of your child, because they are great. Just remember that, and everything will work out. And don't buy into any labels that are placed on your kid, because your kid is perfect, and you just have to remember that.
Great. One last time, give us your website, give an email contact that they can reach or ask more questions, please.
Yes, our website for the book is enlightenedindigochild.com, and you can contact us through that website if you have any questions, or certainly join us on our social networks. We are on Facebook as well as on Pinterest and a few others, I think, but I can't remember them all. Just go to the website. All the links are there.
Yeah, and your Facebook has great further links right there on your cover pages on how to get to the other. I've already joined the groups, and what a fascinating crowd you guys have. You both have beautiful energy. You're both, I can really feel all the way from over here in San Diego, your genuine interest in mankind and the healing and the loving kindness for mankind, and I just think it's great. You're doing amazing things. I'm so grateful to have this opportunity to be with you both today, and thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedules to be on the show today. I know that there are people out there that are grateful for this show because they feel confirmed, they feel that they have validation for what they've been experiencing with themselves or their children and their family, and we just want to encourage you all that are listening to this program to please grasp on to those things that you question, get the answers, there are answers. You are a beautiful inner being. You have a heart of gold. We want you to just flourish and be well. Please reach out to these two wonderful ladies. Get the book Enlightened Indigo Child very, very soon. I'm telling you, I'm loving it. It has totally taken me to another level. And the first thing that it did for me was confirmed that I am a very normal, beautiful indigo child. It was a wonderful experience. It was a really wonderful experience. I'm so grateful. Please come back on the show. Please join me again. It would be really great to have you guys, and I'm looking forward to getting your next books and reading more articles, and as I get to know more about your practice and such. And, yeah, this has been good.
Thank
Anything
you.
Else? Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. It's been a pleasure. We've enjoyed ourselves.
Yes, thank you so much.
Oh, great. Thank you. We will be in touch. Be well to you both as I say goodbye. And so thank you again. And as I say goodbye to everyone else today, thank you. You can stay on hold or you can say goodbye, ladies. It's up to you. As I say goodbye to the audience, I just want to thank you all for tuning in today.
Thank you for taking care of yourselves. Grab hold. Stay with the process. Keep going. You're doing amazing. Drink your water. You're a beautiful person. Keep journaling. Keep those phone calls going. Don't stop till you have the answers you need to be vibrant. You're a blessing. God bless you. Thank you so much. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.